Well, today we want to also thank, really a special thank you to Mike Scott. Where's Mike? Is he up on the drum still? Mike came with his tractor last night and early this morning, spent several hours scraping off the parking lot as much as he could and helping getting that done. Can you give him a hand clap of appreciation? Yes. He came last week and worked on it and we didn't get very far because it was just so solid with that ice. We just couldn't. The snow you can move around, but that ice was so solid we just could not even hardly budge it. And he worked hard last week to try to budge some of it, and he came back this week and worked this weekend to try to at least get part of it cleared off, and we still couldn't budge it. He came back last night at 11:30 at night. He's out here working with the lights on in the parking lot because it began to rain and loosen up, and so he's able to clear off at least part of the parking lot so we could at least have a rough room to drop people off and at least and get them up to the door on some dry ground. So we appreciate him very much. And Dave Beavers also came up last night with some shovels and cleared off some of the sidewalks, and we do appreciate him very much doing that. And so I do say it to you also today, if you have a tractor or, you know, some kind of equipment like that you could help do the parking lot, let Mike know that, hey, next time, call me also. He's got a small tractor, and it's really too much for him to do the whole parking lot by himself. If you have access to a tractor or have one also that you could help do that, let him know so he can call you next time and help him come up here and do that. We can get the whole parking lot done. It's very hard to get somebody when it snows like the last minute. You just have to pretty much catch them while they're working out here and hope that you can get them over to your parking lot. You try to call them on the phone, they never show up. We've had those problems before, and so it's sometimes a hard thing to get someone here to clear your parking lot off. And so if we can have some guys who have that kind of equipment, let Mike know that, hey, call me when that happens, and I'll come up here and help you. And a couple of guys can knock that out real fast. We'd appreciate that help. Appreciate the guys who are out helping people out of the cars this morning. Yes, and helping you walk you up to the doors. Our ushers and greeters, yes, and they did a good job. Well, today, how many are ready to change? See, after this week, I'm ready for a change. I'm not talking about just a change in the weather. I'm talking about a change in our hearts today. And we started the series, and we have done two messages on this. This is our third message today. Learning to change, letting God change us. Letting God change us. And we're letting God change us. And that's not an easy thing, is it? It's not an easy thing. We're just being honest, saying that change is not always easy. That many times in our life, we resist change. And so someone talks about change at work or at home or in your family, and the first thing you do is this. You know, some of you get mad when they change your channels on the satellite. I can't believe they changed my favorite station from 140 to 145. Oh, my word. I mean, some of you can't even deal with that, more or less other change, and we have a hard time dealing with change. And I say to you that it is necessary. That change is necessary. How many are glad that we've had change in society? What would we ever do without cell phones? I mean, can you imagine? How many remember when we first had cell phones and how they were like as big as this speaker right here in your car, and you know, you had to have it hardwired into the thing, you know, and you unzip that big bag and you pull it out. It's like, it's big, like, hey! And it costs like $10 a minute to talk, you know, but you had a cell phone, and we just like, that's stupid. I would never have one of those in my car. But how many are glad that change is progressing now that your little bitty things feel on top of your ear and you just drive, talk? You know, it's not very safe, but we still do it. The change comes, you know. At first, we don't like it, but through the process, we realize it's a good thing, and it gives us convenience, and it helps us do the tasks that we have, and it brings growth in society and economics and in our family. And this is the same thing we're talking about, spiritual change, letting God change us. And one of the core values of our church is what? It's learning to grow. It's to grow. We're going to grow. We're going to embrace the process of growing and learning. And change is a part of that process that says, you know what? I want to embrace this process of growing as a Christian. As your pastor, you know me well enough to know that I'm going to challenge you to grow. If you think you can come and just be complacent without being challenged, I say today that you're in the wrong place, because I'm going to challenge you to grow in your spiritual walk with God, because I believe that every one of us, until the time that we go to heaven, should be striving to grow in our relationship with God. Let me say it again. Every one of us, no matter how long you've been saved, how long you've been in church, who your mom was, who your dad, I don't care any about that. All of us, whether you're the pastor or you just got saved last week, does not make a difference. All of us should be learning to say, I want to grow in my relationship with God. Amen? Amen. All right. So today we're talking about this, letting God change us. And we're talking today about changing from the inside. How many know that change starts on the inside? Change starts on the inside. But many times we want to focus on the outside. But I'll tell you that this is not where we start. Start changing through the inside. It happens in the inside. I read a statistic the other day that said a quarter of a million Americans, 250,000 people, are paralyzed, are physically paralyzed. And over 10,000 Americans a year additionally are paralyzed through accidents or through something that happens, either a sickness or something that happens that paralyzes them. 10,000 a year become paralyzed, and over a quarter of a million that are paralyzed right now in America alone. And that's a lot of people who are suffering through being paralyzed physically. But you know what? I believe there's even a greater need of people who are suffering being paralyzed spiritually in their life. That today we look out, there's a lot of people who are suffering spiritually, who are paralyzed spiritually, that fear and other things are gripping your heart and causing you not to reach the full potential that God has for you. They cause you not to move and to act and to do what God has called you to do because we have allowed ourselves to be paralyzed. We become paralyzed by different things in our life, and we're paralyzed by grief or loneliness or anger or by fear. I'm never going to do this, or I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to let this happen. This will never happen to me. I'll never get married. And my marriage will never get buried. Oh, buried. Better. Some of you listen, that's right. I'll never be able to stop doing this. My family will never be this way. I'll never achieve this goal. I'll never see my dreams. I'll never get a raise. I'll never do better. All these things that paralyze us because of fear and the things we say. I believe there are three emotions in particular that paralyze us, that pretty much keep us paralyzed. Number one, our fears about the future. We have fears that grip us about the future, what's going to happen in the future. Number two, our regrets about the past. Whether our past hang-ups keep us from moving forward, we regret our past. We have this guilt that just rides us. Number three, our doubts about our ability. We doubt, I can ever do this, or I can ever see this accomplished in our life. We have three things that paralyze our potential. And I believe today that God doesn't want you paralyzed. How many believe that today? God does not want you paralyzed, but God wants you free. Let me say it again. God wants you free. God wants you free. He has not called for us to what? Live a life paralyzed. He says, I have called to give you what? Freedom. Who the Son sets free is what? Free is what? It's free indeed. God has called to set you free of your fears. Say that three times fast. He's called to set you free of your fears. And today he is wanting us to walk spiritually in health. He's not wanting us to walk paralyzed emotionally. Today God is coming to change our life. And often we hear that phrase, Jesus changed my life. What does that mean? Did Jesus change my life? To a non-believer, to someone that hears us say that, they say, Jesus has changed my life. And they look at you, what's that mean? You tell my coworker at work, Jesus has changed my life, your family. They say, what does that mean? He's changed your life. That's a good thought. Have you ever thought about that? What do you say to him when you say, he's changed my life? You don't look much different. What do you mean by this? We're talking about the things that happen on the inside of us. That's what we're talking about, changing, a heart change. An emotion change, a spiritual change is what we're talking about today. And many times that will manifest itself on an outward change, but it starts inside of us. Today we're going to look at one of the most awesome stories, I believe, in Scripture. And it's such an important Scripture because we see it throughout all the Gospels here, in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke, all record the story of Jesus and this miracle he did. Let's look at it right here. Let's read it together here in Luke 5, 17. This is the Message version. It says this. One day Jesus was teaching in a home, and they had come from every village and even as far away as Jerusalem to be there. Now, these people had packed out this house. This house, this building they were in, I mean, they had come from everywhere to hear Jesus talk, and it was just shoulder-to-shoulder people. Let's carry on. So some men arrived carrying a paraplegic man on a stretcher. And they looked for a way to get into the house to set him before Jesus. When they could not find a way in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof. I mean, think about that for a second. These guys climbed the roof with this guy, took him to the top of the roof. Look what it says they did. They removed some tile, and let him down in the middle of everyone right in front of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about this story and about how Jesus talks to us when we're paralyzed. Today we're going to look at how Jesus dealt with this man. I believe it even correlates with us spiritually and how Jesus deals with us when we're paralyzed. And we come today and say, honestly, we say, Jesus Christ, I want you to change me. There's three things that will help you get break free, I believe, today. There's three things that will help you begin to get unparalyzed emotionally. Maybe you feel a little frustrated today about your inability to change. Maybe you feel like, you know what, I can never do this, and maybe I want to. I say you're in the right spot today. You're in the right spot today because Jesus Christ is here today to set you free. Whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're not a Christian today, Jesus Christ is here today to set you free. You're in the right spot. So I look out over this audience, even this morning, I see people who God has set free this past year or the past 16 months. I see as God is setting people free of their fears, and God is setting people free of things they've been paralyzed with for years. So if you're looking for freedom today, you're in the right spot. It's a good news today. Let's look at three things that Jesus said to this man. I believe he says to all of us today, if we come to him, say, Jesus, change me. Jesus, I'm paralyzed emotionally. I'm going through a paralyzed state in my life. I believe Jesus says these three things to us also. Number one, Jesus says he will ease your fears. He will ease your fears. Imagine a scene. Jesus is here. It's packed, standing room only. I mean, this is something that we see right here. Standing room only, packed people in there, and they're trying to get to Jesus. We got to bring our guy. This is our guy right here, our friend. We're taking him in. He's been paralyzed. He can't walk. You know, Jesus can heal him. That's what we're thinking. Jesus can heal this guy. We've got to get to Jesus. And I mean, I imagine they tried pretty hard. You know, pardon me, excuse me. We got, you know, this guy's paralyzed. I mean, you would have thought that these guys would have could have made a way to the front, but it was such a tight crowd that he couldn't even get, you know, bringing a paralyzed guy, couldn't even get them to the front, okay? I mean, this thing was tighter security than a Benny Hinn crusade. I mean, this thing was tight, okay? People were trying to get to Jesus, and they could not get in. And so they were up there doing this, and I said, well, how can we get to Jesus? And they said, we'll get to the top of the roof. Of course, we realized in Palestine in those days, the roofs were flat, and so they could remove the tile, and they could lower him down to Jesus. So let's read this verse right here. Notice what Jesus says here in Matthew 9:2. They brought to Jesus a man who was paralyzed and lying on the mat. And then Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, young man. So let's set the scene. They can't get in through the door. They can't get in the aisles. They can't get the ushers to help carry them in. They can't, you know, they can't do a mosh pit and body surf this guy to the front. Nothing's happening, okay? They cannot get this guy to the front to see Jesus. And so they say, let's go up to the top of the roof. And so they go to the top of the roof, and they begin to pull away the roof where Jesus is at. Now, can you imagine that scene? Can you imagine Jesus, in the middle of his teaching and preaching, that all of a sudden things begin to drop down. And you look up, and all of a sudden there's some crazy guys on the roof pulling away. Now today, if we look up and we see some cracking, and we start seeing daylight, you better run, because it's probably the ice. caving in the ceiling. Let's get out of here. But back in then, it was something different. It was some guys up there pulling away and said, listen, let's get down and get this friend to Jesus. And so can you imagine a scene? I mean, can you imagine them trying to lower this guy down? I'm sure they had probably had ropes, you know, and probably had four ropes in each corner of these guys. I'm sure this guy's probably swinging back and forth going, hey, you know, are you guys sure about this? I mean, can you imagine the fear on this guy? Number one, being pulled up to the roof. Number two, being lowered down right in front of everybody. I mean, you're talking about embarrassment. Can you imagine the fear? He was saying, guys, what are you doing? Don't. Oh, it's okay. Jesus is cool. It's okay. You know, like, what are you doing? I mean, lowering this guy down from the roof right in front of Jesus. What does Jesus say to him? He said, hey, guys, stop. Hang on. You're blocking my PowerPoint. Get out of the way. Did he say, ushers?
Security.
Did he do that? They say, Peter, James, get this guy. Take him to the side room and wait. I mean, come on. What would have happened if that happened today? That's what we would do. You know, hey, security. We would think this guy was crazy. But Jesus does something totally different. What's he do? He said, hey, be encouraged. Wow. Now, that is heavy. That's a very big statement today because we realize the first thing that Jesus does to him is ease his fears. Instead of getting on to him, instead of chastising him, instead of saying, you shouldn't be doing this, you guys should wait for me outside, you guys should call an usher, he says, be encouraged. Today, if you're walking in here today in fear and you're walking today paralyzed emotionally and spiritually, you feel paralyzed today and you say, you know what, I just don't know what to do when I come to Jesus. Jesus says this to you, be encouraged. Be of good cheer. He's saying, fear not, it's okay. That's his first words to you. He's saying, don't duck your head. Don't feel like you're inconvenienced me. Don't feel like you're a failure. He says, be encouraged. What an awesome statement from our Savior. We see 365 times in Scripture where the Bible says to fear not. 365 times in Scripture, he says to fear not. How many days are there in a year? What a coincidence, isn't it? I believe it's not a coincidence. He's saying, you do not have to fear. I don't care what you go through today. Do not fear. Be of good courage. He looked at the man and said, be of encouragement, young man. Take heart. Cheer up. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. He was saying, you're not bothering me. That one statement alone, he was saying, you're not bothering me. It's okay. Through his words right there, he let the crowd know. He let his disciples know. And more importantly, he let the man know that, hey, it's okay. It's all right. He will ease your fears. And some of you today, maybe you have a fear in your life that you're dealing with. And you say, you know what? I just don't feel like I can do this so I can come to Jesus with this. And I say, yes, you can. Because when you come to Jesus, he's not there today to scold you. He's not there to hit you in the head with a hammer. But he's here today to say, it's all right. Be encouraged. You come to the right person. You come to the right God today. You come to the right place. Today, Jesus speaks to you. Because why is this important? Because fear is a universal problem. I mean, I don't care where you go. This is the one problem that surrounds mankind around the globe. Every people group, every nation, all of us have fears that we have to face in our life. All of us, even you, Pastor Gene, yes, even me, we all have fears that we must deal with every single day of our life. All of us have things that we have to overcome, and Jesus is saying, you know what? Come to me. Be encouraged. We have fears about our future, fears about our health, fears about our finances, fears about our relationship, fears about our children, our family, fears about our past, fears about our future. We all have fears. And so Jesus looks at us today and says, be of good courage. He looks at you today and says, be of good courage. It's okay. It's all right. I'm here for you today. Jesus is saying to you, let me ease your fears. And I can hear him just speaking almost like Delilah. Welcome, you know. It's that small, soothing voice. And the Holy Spirit is saying today, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. He wants to ease your fears. Proverbs 12 and 25 says this, anxiety in your heart weighs you down, but an encouraging word cheers you up. Why is that important? Because we realize that when we have fear, it sends us into depression. Fear, when we bottle fear in our life, it will cause us to be, look what it says, anxiety, fear in your heart weighs you down. You want to walk around weighed down in your life? You want to walk around depressed? You allow fear to rule your life, and you will. You allow fear to rule your life, and you'll walk around emotionally, spiritually paralyzed. Emotionally paralyzed. Fear of everything that's going to happen. And Jesus speaks at the heart of our fear and says, fear not. Be encouraged. And he says, don't allow it to weigh you down. Let me give you an encouraging word today. I don't know what you're going through, what you're facing this week, what you faced last week. But I know this, that God knows what you're going through. God knows in a personal way what you and I are going through. And he looks at us and says, be encouraged. Look what 1 Peter 5:7 says. Give all your worries and cares to God. How many do you say? Give what? All. Boy, isn't that great? He says, give all but a few. Give all but your financial. Give all but your marriage. Give all but your children. No, he says, give all. There's no but there, is there? Give all. Give all. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. We know that perfect love casts out all fear. That's what he says in the scripture. Perfect love casts out all fear. Listen, fear is what keeps you from getting close to God. I believe that more than anything else here today, if we can talk about what keeps us from growing in our relationship with God. Pastor, you're talking about change. You're talking about growing. So what stops us? I believe the number one thing that will stop you from growing and does stop us from growing is fear. Fear. Well, Pastor, is it possible to be a Christian and have fear? Yes, it is. Because many of us, we allow fear to come and to rule our life. And we'll never grow into potential that God has for me. Well, Pastor, if this happens, I'm scared of what may happen. Pastor, if I let God get close to me, then he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. We allow fear to grip our hearts. If I get really close to God, what might happen to me? I might like the way that God changes me. If I get close to God and grow, then he's going to ask me to stop doing something I don't want to stop doing. Fear. If I get close to God, he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. If I get close to God, he's going to ask me to dress in polyester and get on TBN and say, Jesus, we have all these crazy ideas. Let me say this. God does not make you crazy, and God does not make you goofy. We do that to ourselves, okay? We can do that to ourselves. We don't need God's help for that. We're capable of doing that on our own. God doesn't make me goofy or crazy. God empowers me. God empowers me to overcome my fears. He encourages us today. And so today I believe that we are fearful of what God will ask us to do. Pastor, if I give up my fears and I say, God, I want to grow in you. All right, God, I want to learn to change my life. Then he may ask me to be a better husband. Oh, no. He'll ask me to be a better father. Oh, no. He'll ask me to start getting up early and praying for my children. Oh, no. See, we're fearful that God's going to ask us. I say, God looks at you and says, be encouraged. It's okay. Don't live in fear. So we find out that he empowers us to do what he asks us to do. Because God loves us. Look what Psalms 34 says. I asked the Lord for your help, and he answered me, and he freed me from all my anxious fears. Wow. God is here today to free us. The second thing he says to us, not only does he ease our fears, but number two, he will eliminate our guilt. He will eliminate our guilt. Let's look what it says here in Luke 5, verse 20. Jesus looks at them first and says, be encouraged. Now he says to him this. Jesus said to him, friend, your sins are forgiven. Time out. All right, let's take a time out here. Some of you didn't catch that. This guy is at the top of the roof. He's being lowered down because why? He is spiritually, what? No, he is physically paralyzed. He was coming to Jesus for healing because he was physically paralyzed. So Jesus says, hey, first of all, ease up. It's all right. You're not disturbing me. Don't be in fear. It's okay. And the second thing he says to him is this, friend, your sins are forgiven. Time out. He didn't ask to be forgiven. He didn't ask Jesus to forgive him of his sins. That wasn't the reason why he was there. He was there because he wanted to be healed. But Jesus has a way of dealing with things the right way. You see, many times in our life, we come to Jesus because of our outward problems. Jesus, I need this because this is happening in my life. Jesus, I'm going through this problem. And many times before Jesus deals with the outside problem, he's got to deal with the inside problem first. And so when he looked at him, he was saying, yeah, you're paralyzed physically, but listen, before I deal with that, he says, your sins are forgiven. There's something that's going on in your heart that I need to deal with first. That's a powerful statement because we realize that God starts, first of all, by eliminating our guilt. You come to God with fear, and then we have this guilt over, you know, I'm just not worthy. I'm not worthy to be used of God. I'm not worthy to be blessed of God. I'm not worthy to have a good marriage. I'm not worthy to have this in my life. I'm not worthy to have a raise. I'm not worthy to quit doing this. And we have all these things that we say we're not worthy for because of the guilt of maybe a past mistake that you did in your past or maybe something you did that you regret, and the guilt follows you around. So that fear of saying, you know what, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I can't do this. And Jesus looks at you and says, listen, your sins are forgiven. He deals with the heart first. And when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, he says, they are forgiven. They are cast away. Our external problems are not really our problems. Change is not because, it's not stopped because of the outward things that we're going through. Change is stopped because of the inward things we're struggling with. We don't change because we're having heart issues. We don't change because we're struggling with things going on inside of us. And Jesus always wants to deal with that first. Jesus wants to change you. He's not going to change your job. He's going to change your heart. He's not going to change your spouse. He's going to change you. He's not going to change your children. He's going to change you. I'm doing good preaching this morning. I know it. It's good, yes. Some of you are like, oh, yes. I'm not just saying you, I'm saying me, okay? I'm preaching to myself as well. God is changing us, and he always starts with our heart. He changes us. He says, friends, your sins are forgiven. And I wonder, boy, how much freedom did that bring this man? When Jesus looked at us and said, friend, your sins are forgiven. You know what that did inside of him? It emotionally released him. And I just wonder today how powerful those words would be with people in our life. I wonder how many people we're holding paralyzed in our life that we need to look at and say, friend, you're forgiven. I wonder how many people who have hurt us that we could look at and say, you know what? I forgive you. That we would release them. We could not only take the grip off of our own life and release the grip they have on our life, but we release them also. Three of the most powerful words you can say to anybody is, you are forgiven. Not just, I love you, but it's, you are forgiven. I wonder who we need to say that to this week. I wonder who we need to say, you're forgiven. Because guilt is an incredible, paralyzing emotion. Guilt will send you into anxiety, depression. It will weigh you down. It will cause you not to be what God has called you to be. But when we forgive and we walk in forgiveness, first of all, we realize that God has forgiven us. And when God forgives, he forgets. Unlike us, we have a hard time forgetting, don't we? You may hurt me once, but you ain't going to hurt me again, you know. And I'll forgive you, but in the back of my mind, I still remember that you hurt me. That's us. That's human nature, really. That's how we are. I don't want to forgive them yet. I want them to feel guilty for what they did to me. I need to feel my pain. That's our human nature. But how many are glad that God doesn't act the way we act? His grace is so much higher than us. His grace and forgiveness is so much bigger than who we are that he looks and says, friend, your sins are forgiven. And when he says forgiven, he means forgotten, deleted, annulled. It's history. Legally, it never happened. That's what he's saying. He's saying that hard drive is being deleted, and no computer tech can ever bring that up. Nobody can ever bring that back up. It is gone. It's history. Your friend, your sins are forgiven. Our bodies were never meant to carry a load of guilt. I read a statistic the other day, and maybe, Dan, you can back us up. It says that 50% of the people in the hospital beds today are there because of some kind of guilt-related stress sickness. I don't know how true that is. I read that statistic, but I believe it's probably close. That a lot of people that are in the hospital or are laying there because of sickness is there because of guilt. guilt, and they allow fear and anxiety to grip their life, and it's caused physical unhealth in their life physically. It's caused them sickness and stress in their life. God never meant for us to carry around guilt in our life. He didn't design us that way. He designed us to walk in freedom. How long should we walk around with guilt? Just long enough to say, God, forgive me. That's how long we should walk around with guilt. When I sin, I know it. The Holy Spirit quickens my heart, and I say, God, forgive me of that sin, and he forgives me right then and there. That's how long I should carry that guilt. But we do this, God, forgive me, and the next week, oh, God, still forgive me. And 2 months later, God, forgive me. Then, all right, I'm better. Then 3 years later, God, I know 3 years ago I asked you to forgive me, but God, I'm still feeling guilty, and I don't think you really forgive me of all that. God doesn't operate that way. We do as humans, but he doesn't operate that way. And when you get to acknowledge that God says, you are forgiven, and you're forgiven, it can release the guilt. And it releases me to walk in freedom. It releases me to be unparalyzed emotionally so that I can do what God has asked me to do. How does God forgive me? The truth is this, he forgives me instantly. Isaiah 55:7 says, God is merciful and quick to forgive. See, I want you to suffer. I want you to feel my pain, but God says, no, I'm quick to forgive you. Number two, Jesus forgives you completely. Look what it says here in Colossians 2. He has forgiven all your sins. He has utterly wiped out the evidence of a broken commandments which hung over your heads, and he has completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. So we need to stop nailing ourselves to the cross. We need to stop nailing ourselves to the cross because of our sin and say, Jesus, you already paid the price. I'm going to allow myself to walk in the forgiveness that you've given me. How else does he forgive me? Number three, he forgives me freely. Freely he forgives me. Freely. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. It comes freely by me accepting him. I've got to learn that. Romans 3 says, God says he will accept us and acquit us and declare us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sin, no matter who we are, what we've been like. I like what the Living Bible says here. No matter who we are, what we've been like. Wow. No matter who you are, no matter how bad you've been, when we trust in him, when we ask him to forgive us, he says, I forgive you. Friend, today you got to allow the guilt to go. You got to allow your past to quit making you fear. You got to quit fearing over what can happen. Some of you have been hurt by church. Some of you have been hurt by family. Some of you have been hurt by people close to you. And I say today to you, don't live in fear. Don't do it. God's here today to say, I want to release you emotionally, physically, spiritually. I'm here today to release you. He speaks to you and says, be of good courage. He speaks to you and says, you know what? I forgive you. The guilt is gone. He forgives us freely. Wow, what a powerful word. As he frees us up. God is not mad at you if you come to Christ and say, I want to be changed. He doesn't get mad at you and say, you know what you used to do? How can you even ask me to change you? No. He says, good, I've been waiting. I want to release you. Good, I've already paid the price for you to be free. I'm glad you're accepting it. See, he wants you to be free. He wants me to be free. When you grasp that the only way he changes our life is sets us free from guilt, there's only one logical response to that, and it's what? Amazement. It just amazes me when I think that what God can do for us, that even the worst sins that we commit in our life, that he says, I have forgiven you, and I have cast into the sea of forgetfulness to never be brought back up. I'm in amazement, utter amazement, that God loves me that much and he loves you that much. And closing today, let me give you the last point. He will enable you to do what seems impossible. He will enable you to do what seems impossible. Look what it says here in Mark 2:10. Jesus speaks to him and says, be of good courage. And then he says, your sins are forgiven. He deals with the inside man, deals with heart. And then he does this right here. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, take your mat, and go home. You're healed. It says, the man jumped up, took the mat, pushed his way through the stunned onlookers. They all praised God. We've never seen anything like this before. I can imagine so. Here's this guy they passed time and time again begging because he couldn't make his wages. He's carried in around wherever he goes. He has to be carried there. And he's lowered through the roof. And Jesus looks at him and says, get up, take your mat, and go home. You say, well, why is that important? Because Jesus asked him to do the one thing he's never done before. Out of all the things Jesus could have asked this man to do, he asked him to do the one thing he'd never done before in his life, was to get up and walk. And I say today, when you allow Jesus to heal your heart, when you allow Jesus to take away your guilt, that he will ask you sometimes to do things that you'd never done before. But he will empower you to do that. And I believe that the minute that man began to try to get up, the minute the man began to try to move his limbs to get up, that he was healed. Because he acted on faith what God had asked him to do. He could have laid there the rest of his life and said, Jesus, I can't move. I know you're asking me, but can you come and get me? Jesus didn't walk over to him and push him off the cot. He didn't say, all right, guys, lower him back up and then drop him. He said, hey, you, get up and walk. That's a powerful word because many times he looks at us and says, okay, now get up and do something about it. You know what? Get up and do the one thing you've never done before. See, when we do these things, they free us up. We're emotionally paralyzed. We're spiritually paralyzed. And we want to accomplish things for God and go to a deeper level in him. And you say, all right, God, I know this, God. And so, God, my heart is repentant. God, I know you set me free. My guilt, my fears are no longer there. Rule me. Now God says, all right, now get up and do something. Get up and act on the faith. And God will say, all right, get up and minister here. Get up and go talk to this person. Get up and do this. Well, I've never done that before. Good. Because God's wanting to grow you through the process. And realize he will never ask you to do. He will never ask you to do what he will not empower you and I to do. There's a lot of things I've never done before. But I know when he asks me to do it, I do it. And he has never not empowered me to do it. Even when it seemed impossible. Even when it seemed like there was no way. I got up, acted in faith. And he was always there to give me the strength that I need, the wisdom that I need, the supernatural things that I needed. Always came to place because I acted in obedience. In our own life, God many times would look at us and say, get up. And some of you today, you've been paralyzed a long time. Some of you allowed yourself to walk around paralyzed a long time in your life. Some of you walked around and you came in today. Yeah, you walked in physically, but spiritually, you've been paralyzed a long time. Emotionally, you've been paralyzed a long time. It's affected your marriage. It's affected you, your relationship with your children. It's affected you on your job. It affects you in ministry. Many of you here, God is calling you to go to the next level. God's calling you to do something for him. Some of you know you need to be leading a small group. Some of you know you need to open up your home. Some of you know you need to be doing ministry somewhere and being more than what you're doing. But because you were burnt somewhere else, because you were hurt somewhere else, I don't know. And we allow fear of being hurt again stop us from doing what God's called us to do. We allow fear keep us from loving our spouse the way we should love them because our last spouse hurt us. We allow fear from allowing us to love our children the way we should love them because our parents didn't love us the right way. We allow fear to grip our hearts. And I'm here to say to you today that God is here to set you free. He has come today to set you free. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Today, if you're here, and I just want to ask you this question. You say, Pastor Gene, you're speaking right to me. That if I was just to be honest with you and with God this morning and say, yeah, I've allowed myself to be paralyzed spiritually, emotionally. I've allowed myself to be paralyzed through fears of what God may ask me to do, or maybe fears of getting hurt again, fears of trust issues, that's you today, and God's speaking to you, can you just raise your hand? No one's looking but me. You can say, Pastor Gene, that was me, yes. Anybody else? Thank you. 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 Anybody else today say, Pastor Gene, that's me? I just got to be honest and say, I've allowed myself to be paralyzed spiritually and emotionally in these areas. Anybody else today? You didn't raise your hand. You want to raise your hand. Say, I want to be part of that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. The Holy Spirit's moving this morning. If he's dealing with you right now, just be honest, okay? This is the first step. Get over that fear. Some of you just have fear of raising your hand. It's okay. It's the first step. Can you just, anybody else, want to make sure you have that chance. Raise your hand. Say, that's me, Pastor. It's been several hands. Anybody else, want to make sure you have that chance. You did not raise your hand. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. I'm going to ask you to do something I don't usually do, but some of you might be kind of scary, but that's okay. It's a good way to act this morning. If you raise your hand this morning and say, Pastor, I've been struggling with fear, or I've been struggling with being paralyzed emotionally or spiritually in my life because of things in my life, and today I want to be free, I'm going to invite you to come down to the front and stand right in front of me. If you raise your hand, I'm going to invite you to come right now and say, Pastor, that was me. Some of you, it's a fear just to walk down the front. Just getting over that fear. I'm going to invite you to come with me and join me in the front. Just spread out. Just make sure your shoulder to shoulder spread out there. Anybody else today, you raised your hand. You want to join us. I'm going to make sure and give you plenty of chance to join us. Listen, we're not going to be in a hurry this morning. If you got to leave, then feel free to leave quietly. It's all right. We didn't have church last week. We're just going to flow this morning. Is that all right? Okay, we're just going to flow this morning. And let's allow the God's Spirit to move. I believe God wants to do something very powerful this morning, okay? I believe God's going to set some people free this morning. Just as much as we rejoice that someone walked in the wheelchair and walked out physically, we're going to rejoice that people are walking in spiritually this morning in wheelchairs. Some people are carried in this morning with their feet, but have been emotionally paralyzed for a long time. And I believe today that God's going to set some people free. God's going to set you free. I'm going to invite my prayer team and staff to come along. They're going to stand behind you. They're going to begin to pray for you. I'm going to come along and begin to pray for you also today. So many people, if you would today, if you want to stretch your hands this way, if we begin to pray for them, we're going to take time to pray for them to God. We're just going to set them free. I believe in my spirit today that God's going to begin to set people free. I want you to see yourself right now. As you're praying, I want you to begin to see yourself, God. As you're giving us away, I want you to see Jesus asking you right now. Calling you by name and saying, all right, give this to me. Whatever it is you feel like you've been holding on to, whether it's a fear, anxiety, whatever it is, a thing that you're a fear of facing, whatever it is, you say, God, I am giving this to you. I am going to walk in freedom in Jesus' name. I'm going to accept your freedom of guilt, freedom of anxiety. I'm not going to allow fear to control my life anymore in the name of Jesus. I want you guys to stretch your hands this way. We're going to pray for you, staff and prayer team. Some leadership coming behind these people right now. Put hands on them. I'm going to come along and pray with you. We're going to pray to Jesus Christ right now in the name of Jesus. Come on.
Trust him in his presence. Jehovah, God Almighty, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In His holy presence, the weary can find perfect rest, the broken are restored. In His presence, in His holy presence, oh, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. In His presence, the weary can find perfect rest, the broken are restored. In His presence, in His holy presence, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Oh, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. There is none like You. else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Right now, Lord, now we thank you to God. You are setting us free. I want you to raise your hands and say, as you raise your hands, I want you to spiritually see those chains falling off of you right now. Chains of fear, chains of unforgiveness, chains of guilt that have held you back from being what God has called you to be. I want you to see yourself as you lift your hands today. I want you to see those chains falling off of you today. Spiritually envision those. They're just falling to your ankles today. Some of you need to just shake it off. You need to shake your hands. You just kind of spiritually need to shake those things off. And say, God, I am not going to walk carrying those things any longer today. Father, I'm a child of God. I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to walk in freedom. God, we are children of God who are free through you, free of guilt, free of fear. And God, we're going to walk in power knowing that, God, you will never ask us to do. You will never ask us to change. You will never ask us to do unless you empower us to change. Unless you empower us to do these things, God. So today our faith is in you, to God, as you ask us to step out and to take a new step in you and to grow in our relationship with you and with others, God. We know that you are going to empower us, God, to do what we have not been able to do on our own. And God, it's through the power of your Holy Spirit today that we say, yes, yes, we're going to walk in freedom. Yes, we're going to be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Yes today, God. Yes today. We thank you now, God, of what you've done. We thank you, God, you do forgive us. We do thank you, God, that you are empowering, God. You haven't left us alone, but God, your Holy Spirit is here today, very evident in our midst and very evident in our life. And we thank you, Lord, and we give you praise. And the people of God say, amen and amen. God bless you today. Those of you who are still here and those who have been praying, God bless you today. This is a new day. This is a new day in your life spiritually. You walk in that freedom in Jesus' name.